السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. نعم. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. نعم. Today we are supposed to start the reading from the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari. And we can see the various disruptions we've been having because we are not used to this procedure to learn. The attention given to ensuring that the various media platforms we are trying to use, the attention given to it itself is big enough for a class. The attention given to trying to manage the entire platform, the attention itself is big enough for a class. Because ordinarily, nothing should be on the mind before a class. A class should be observed such that nothing will be on the mind. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You can continue yourself.
Okay, I was saying that the attention placed on trying to ensure that the platforms all work as required, the attention itself is big enough for the attention of the class. The attention we have tried to pay, I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all the brothers and the women, everybody with goodness in both worlds. The attention itself is itself a burden. And this is the reason why, or one of the reasons why we have tried to avoid these classes all this while, hoping and praying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open a way for us to be able to return to our classes as we have them normally. All our scholars have been saying that yes, if we have a means of reaching out like this, if we have a way of reaching out like this, we should. If we have a way of getting our classes done like this, it's good. They said that up to yesterday, I still saw some of the statements of some of the scholars about classes online and the like of that. One of them mentioned it to be from the aspect of ما لا يدرك كله لا يترك كله, something all of which becomes difficult to get. It's becoming difficult to gather in masajid again, in halakat again, in madaris again. لا يترك كله, the little that we can get from other means too should not be thrown away. So this is where we have found ourselves. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us, to forgive our sins and remove the pandemic COVID-19 and not make it a source of trial for us and not bring us trials regarding our deen and even in our affairs of dunya. May Allah forgive all of us. We chose to read the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari is the book that we have scheduled to read. But before we go on to that, I'd like to mention something related to today. Because today in Nigeria is the 10th day of Muharram. The 10th day of Muharram in Nigeria is today. So I expect that those of us listening now, and all of us, we should be fasting today. Because today is the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah in Nigeria. Except for those who have issues, people who are very sick, who can't fast, and similar other issues, situations, we should be fasting today in Nigeria because today is the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah. But as for, we saw articles that went around yesterday, day before yesterday, 4 days ago, saying that yesterday was the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah on some calendars and the likes of that. That should not affect those of us in Nigeria. What we are expected to do, the instruction we have from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, based on the understanding of those among the ulama who finally rule that regions and countries can act upon their fighting. Those things show that we can do our fasting according to our locality. A person in Nigeria should not be fasting yesterday as the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah in Saudi Arabia. Likewise, someone in Saudi Arabia should not be fasting today as 10th of Dhul-Hijjah in Nigeria. Every person follows the fighting in their various countries. So I hope that we in Nigeria, inshallah, the correct thing for us is not to follow the calendar, not to follow the sightings of other countries of the world, but to follow the sightings as mentioned by our own leaders, the authority in charge of these matters in Nigeria, and that is the Supreme Council for Islamic Affairs under the Sultan of Sokoto. So this is what is required of us to do in the circumstance. We all in Nigeria, we should be fasting today as the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Having said this, we had said that our book for us to read, inshallah, is Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And this book is one of the evidences that our Ummah, the Quran, the Sunnah, and the early Muslims, they have paid a very, very big attention to the issues of Al-Adab. The Quran, the Sunnah, and the early Muslims, they have paid a very, very, very big attention to issues of Al-Adab, mana in Islam. If we go back to the Quran mentioned the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُكٍ عَظِيمٍ. Because Al-Adab, like Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, he mentioned that Al-Adab is اجتماعُ خِصَالِ الْخَيْرِ فِي الْعَبْدِ. اجتماعُ خِصَالِ الْخَيْرِ فِي الْعَبْدِ. When all the traits of goodness are found in the individual, we say that this individual has Adab. Al-Adab is when the khisal al-khayr, traits of goodness, good manner, are found with the individual, we say that the individual has Adab. Ijtima'u khisal al-khayr fil abd, that traits of goodness are combined in an individual. Traits of goodness, truthfulness, respect, humility, and all of this combined in an individual. We say this individual have adab. And that's why the ulama say that al-adab itself has to do with three things, or three categories. The first category they gave to adab is al-adabu ma'allah, being mannerly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-adabu ma'allah, being mannerly, manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This adab with Allah has to do with ensuring our strong belief in Tawheed of Allah, in all the forms of Tawheed that we know, and making sure that worship is directed for Him alone, listening to His word, reading His book, and all of this. These are from the aspect of Tawheed with Allah. Okay, my attention was just called that when I was talking about, I'll quickly mention this before I continue, please. When I was talking about fasting the 10th of Muharram, I kept on repeating fasting the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. I have been saying it that the burdens of trying to organize these, the online issue itself, is a burden on the mind. All that I have meant, I'm sure we would all have understood that when I was talking about the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, I was actually talking about the 10th of Muharram, because we are in the month of Muharram now, not Dhul-Hijjah. And don't forget that we are talking about 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah in Dhul-Hijjah. So I'm sorry about that. Don't forget, what we are talking about is the 10th day of Muharram. In Nigeria, today is the 10th day of Muharram. I hope that we get that clear. I was talking about the three aspects of Al-Adab. Ulama say Al-Adabu Ma'Allah, being mannerly with Allah. The second one, Al-Adabu Ma'Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being mannerly with the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Being mannerly with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is widely mentioned in the Quran. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. Oh you who believe, don't raise your voices upon the voice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says la taqulu ra'ina wa qulu unzurna wasma'u. Don't say ra'ina, you should say unzurna, listen to us. Look at our side and listen to us. There are so many issues of manner on how the Muslim should be mannerly with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. This is, there are a lot of verses and there are a lot of ahadith that discuss being mannerly with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Muslim hadith. The third aspect of being mannerly is al-adab ma'anna, showing adab, being mannerly with the rest of the people. Being mannerly with the rest of the people, showing al-adab with the rest of the people. And it doesn't only stop there, with the various groups of people. How do we become mannerly with our parents? Because once the messengers of Allah are removed, alayhim salatu wa salam, the best of those we have to deal with rightly are our parents. How does the Muslim become mannerly with the parents? How do we become mannerly with our scholars, ulama? How do we become mannerly with the sultan, the ruler, manners with the ruler? How does the ruled relate with the ruler, those in authority? So these are various aspects of manner. How do parents relate with children? How do parents relate with their parents? How do brothers relate with themselves, people who are from the same parents? How do near relatives relate with themselves? How do we even relate with the friends of our parents? How, and all of these, the various groups of people that we have, how do we relate with people who employ us? How do we relate to people we employ to do jobs? How do we do all of this? All of this come under al-adabu ma'anna. Al-adabu ma'anna. All of this come under it. Likewise, the various manners we need to employ in our various circumstances. A person is traveling. How does he, what manners must he display? A person wants to sleep. The individual is in the toilet. The individual comes out of the toilet. The individual wakes up in the morning. And in the various conditions that we find ourselves, what are the manners that Islam wants us to employ in the various situations? So if you come back to all of these, you will see that, like Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, he said, Al-Adabu huwa al-Dinu kullu. Al-Adabu huwa al-Din kullu. Din manali is the deen itself. The entire deen itself is to be mannerly, or to be mannerly has to do with the entire deen itself. You be mannerly to Allah, be mannerly to the messenger, you be mannerly with the people. Exploring these things means you'll be talking about the entirety of the deen itself. That's why Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah made that statement that al-adabu huwa al-deenu kulluhu. So, having understood this, we see that our religion places a lot of emphasis on al-adab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sent someone, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to physically demonstrate for us to see and follow him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we'll not only be hearing it, we'll not only be reading the verses of the Quran. He called us and said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. All of you Muslims, لَقَدْ certainly the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has for you a model. The best of the models is in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's like asking, if I want to be good as a parent, how do I do that? Handle it as the Prophet Muhammad handled it. If I want to be a good son to my parents, how do I handle that? Handle it as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had handled it. If I want to be a good husband to my wife, handle it as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had handled it. So that's why we have issues of adab regarding all aspects of life from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and from the lives of those who have come before us, amongst the companions and their students radiallahu anhum. So these are the main issues around the matters of adab. So when we talk about adab, the main issues around the matters of adab are issues that are connected to how we relate to the people, the different groups of people. Having said this, we should know also that the book we intend to read, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that was written by one of the biggest scholars that has ever come since the history of Islam, Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah, is from the best of books that has been written on this. Because apart from him, rahimahullah, compiling an entire book on al-adab, he had included issues of adab in his book, Sahih al-Bukhari. Al-Imam al-Bukhari had included the matters of adab in his book, Sahih al-Bukhari. There he had little above 260 ahadith that discussed issues of adab with parents, adab with children, adab with those who work under you, adab with those you work for, adab with men, adab with women, adab with husbands, adab with sisters, adab with relatives. He had mentioned that in Sahih al-Bukhari. He mentioned over 260 ahadith. But he now separated and compiled an entire book again, apart from what he had done in Sahih al-Bukhari, And that is the book we have seen, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. In Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he has over 1,322 reports. Over 1,300 reports in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. That's why the book itself, instead of being named Al-Adab alone, because some of the scholars say that the name of this book we are reading today is Al-Adab, Mana. But they come back and say the reason why Al-Mufrad is added in front of it is that it is specifically written, a book specifically written for Adab, so that it's not mistaken for what Al-Imam al-Bukhari had compiled in Sahih al-Bukhari. It should be clear that no, this is a book different from what he had mentioned of Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari that specifically discusses the issues of Al-Adab. From the matters that is important for us to mention is that this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, many of the scholars have paid a lot of attention to it. From among those who gave a sharh of the book was Al-Shaykh Fadlullah al-Jilani. It was an extensive commentary on the book. Fadlullah al-Jilani gave a commentary of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. My own copy occurs in three big volumes. And the tahqiq was done by one of the students of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. Three big volumes. Sheikh Fadlullah al-Jilani. He gave a very big summary, a very big commentary on Al-Adab al-Mufrad. After him, Sheikh Hussein ibn Awda al-Awaisha, one of the students of Sheikh Al-Albani, he also did a sharh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad in three big volumes. He referred to it as sharh sahih Al-Adab al-Mufrad. His attention was essentially upon those ahadith that are authentic in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, because that's one of the differences between Al-Adab al-Mufrad and Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari. Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari only has ahadith al-Sahiha, ala sharh al-Sahiha. Ahadith al-Sahiha, authentic reports that are upon the conditions, the high conditions that Al-Imam al-Bukhari stipulated for the ahadith that he was going to include in Sahih al-Bukhari. Because some amongst the ulama have told us that Sahih al-Bukhari is not just Sahih. The ahadith selection that Al-Imam al-Bukhari made in Sahih al-Bukhari, they are as-sahih as-sahih, the best of the authentic reports of all the reporters, were what he did in Sahih al-Bukhari. But in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he relaxed the rules. So you find ahadith that are sahih, you find hadith that is hasan, you find hadith that is having some weak reporters. The reason he has included a hadith of weak reporters is that you will know that regarding this matter, this hadith is mentioned, though, even though, don't forget, it's a weak hadith. This hadith is a weak hadith, but it has been mentioned regarding this matter. But that itself is less than, it's about less than 210. So somebody compiles a book of over 1,300 hadith, and just about 200 are slightly weak. Most of them are weaknesses that are very, very slight, not issues of major weaknesses or issues of fabrication. And the reason he had included those 200 hadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad is for us to know that these reports too have occurred regarding each of the subjects under which those reports have occurred. So Sheikh Hussein ibn Awda al-Awaisha, he has done a sharh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. After him also, we have Dr. Luqman al-Salafi. He has a sharh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Fortunately, Dr. Luqman al-Salafi was also a student of Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah. He has a very big volume of his commentary on Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he called Rashul Barad. Rashul Barad, Sharhu Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Rashul Barad, Sharhu Al-Adab al-Mufrad. By Dr. Luqman Al-Salafi, Hafizahullah. Dr. Luqman Al-Salafi works in the office of Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Ibn. Dr. Luqman Al-Salafi is an Indian or Pakistani, and he had the opportunity of working in the office of Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Ibn. Rahimahullah, Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Ibn, Abu Abdullah. So that's about that. But one of the biggest and the work that has really encouraged many other people to come back and work on Al-Adab al-Mufrad was that Tahrij, a separation that was done by Sheikh Al-Albani when he separated between Sahih Adab al-Mufrad and Da'if Adab al-Mufrad. He separated with Ahadith, the authentic report in Al-Adab al-Mufrad and the slightly weak report on Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He separated them into two separate books. After him, many other scholars too have worked on Al-Adab al-Mufrad, like Sheikh Samir al-Zuhairi, rahimahullah, one of our teachers. He added more notes to the notes of Sheikh Al-Albani because he got aware, he came across some other manuscripts of Al-Adab al-Mufrad he employed in his checking and editing of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Sheikh Isam Musa Hadi also did a ta'lif for a sharh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Sheikh Isam Musa Hadi is also a student of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. He was the one who was working in Sheikh Al-Albani's office, in Sheikh Al-Albani's library. He used to send him, bring me this book, bring me that book, write this down here, like a personal secretary. Sheikh Isam Musa Hadi, he also did a ta'lif on Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He referred to as Al-Maqsad al-Arshad ila Sahihi Al-Adab al-Mufrad lil Imam al-Bukhari. Very, very, very good book to read, bismillah. There are others amongst the scholars who have also done a sharh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. One of them was or is Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sa'id Raslan. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sa'id Raslan's commentary is sharh on Al-Adab al-Mufrad are called in four big volumes. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sa'id Raslan, he did a sharh, a commentary of the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Likewise, long ago in Medina, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abbas, he also taught Al-Adab al-Mufrad in Masjid al-Nabawi. Long ago, I attended a few of the classes before it ended. Long ago, in the late 90s up to early 20s, he did a sharh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad in Masjid al-Nabawi. After that, his son, Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, also did a sharh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. In fact, he has done his own twice. He did one in the Jami'ah, he did one in the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. Likewise, Sheikh Rabi al-Badfali, some of his comments on Al-Adab al-Mufrad had been compiled into an entire book and it was published today. Likewise, Sheikh Abdullah al-Bukhari from Jamiat al-Islamiyah, his comment on Al-Adab al-Mufrad has also been compiled into a whole book. Why are we talking about all this? We are talking about it because it will make us understand that we want to get busy with what our scholars are busy with. We want to get busy with what our ulama have been busy with. We will be busy with what our scholars have been busy with. And we hope to gain, inshallah, as it has benefited them, we hope and we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it benefit both our brother who is explaining it and the rest of us listening to him. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the reading a beneficial one. I would prefer to stop here today because I can feel the volumes of starting this kind of a thing. It is something that I have run away from, I had avoided all the way, but I think that we can proceed. We are getting better at it And I apologize to us all for not being able to join as quick as we would want. This is something that we are doing for about the second time. The first time I was doing a lecture like that was the lecture we did about organ transplants and blood transfusion. So I'm not used to it at all. During Ramadan, I was avoiding it. I had a lot of issues with brothers who they wanted that we do a class. But I was afraid of what we are seeing now. But at least we are getting out of it and we are getting used to the system. We hope that Allah makes it a means of benefit to us before we return to our classes. Once we return to our classes, inshallah, we'll find more comfort with issues of teaching and learning. I will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our shortcomings. Like I said earlier, what we are doing now is from the aspect of ma la yudraku kulluhu, la yudraku kulluhu. If you can't get all of something in the Sharia, you are required to get five things. You can't get all the five. If you find one and two, you won't drop one and two. You still hold on to the one and two and expect Allah to forgive you and bless the rest. So this is what has pushed us to this. We'll try to get better over it, inshallah, and hope that our classes get better. Bi-Iznillah, we are going to dedicate the next class to the discussion on Al-Imam al-Bukhari himself. We'll discuss Al-Imam al-Bukhari himself, and if we're able to come into the ahadith, one after the other, we will start in the very next class. But Bi-Iznillah, we should have it in mind that the next class will be devoted to the life of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, the author of our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that we are busy with. May Allah make it beneficial to us, to the reader and those of us at home listening to it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخنا أحسن الله إليكم We ask Allah to preserve you from goodness for us so till next week we'll meet
Amin, Amin, Abba Yusuf Amin, جزاك الله خيرا السلام عليكم